Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph. Gemara here is continuing with the Mishnah from the beginning of the parak about Shuma Yitomim. When Beit Din goes to sell the property of the Yitomim and puts it up for auction based on the assessment of value that they have assigned to that property, how long does that auction have to proceed? So Yavtan Rabbanan, Shuma Yitomim 30 Yom. It's for 30 days. Shuma Hekdesh 60 Yom. And Hekdesh is 60 days, Divrei Rabbi Meir, which is similar to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Shuma Yitomim is 30 days, Hekdesh is 60 days, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. Yehuda Omer, Shuma Yitomim, 60 Yom, Shuma Hekdesh, 90 Yom. Yehuda says that for Yitomim, we actually take the auction for 60 days. For Hekdesh, we take it for 90 days. V'chachamim Omerim, Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, there's no difference between Yitomim and Hekdesh, 60 Yom. It's 60 days across the board. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yimei, Halacha, the halacha is Shuma Yitomim 60 Yom. That the assessment for the Yitomim is 60 days. So Yativ, Rav Chia Bar Avin, it's Rav Chia because it's in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael. So it's Rav Chia Bar Avin. Bekamer Lahash Maitata, and he's saying over this memra of Rav Chisda. So Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Rav Chia Bar Avin. 60 Kamar? You said 60? Or 30 Kamar? Or do you say 30? Amalei 60. I said 60. The Yitomim or the Hekdesh? Were you speaking about the Yitomim or Hekdesh? Amalei the Yitomim. I'm saying Yitomim, that is 60 days. Kirabi Meir or Kirabi Yehuda? Is that like Shitat Rabbi Meir or Shitat Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei Kirabi Meir, that's like Shitat Rabbi Meir. If we go back and look at Shitat Rabbi Meir, we know that Shuma Yitomim according to Rabbi Meir was 30 days. And over here he's saying the Shuma Yitomim is 60 days, and that's Shitat Rabbi Meir. And he asked the question, Vaha Rabbi Meir, Shloshim Kamar. Didn't Rabbi Meir tell us that it was a 30-day window, not a 60-day window? This is what Rav Chisda said. He's the Baal Memra that was being quoted in the beginning. Am Rav Chisda, Am Rav Yimei. He says, Mi Avimei, Kufei Tavi Bale Allah Daha Shmaitato. I took many big blows from Rav Yimei about this sugya in exactly trying to reconcile this issue till I got it straight, which is Badach Rizrutzufim. Rav Yimei, when he says the 30-day period for the auction, that's when he does it day after day. Bisheni v'chamishi, if they only announce it on Mondays and Thursdays, shishim, then you do it over a 60-day period. Now that's not equal. If you only do it on Mondays and Thursdays for 60 days, that does not equal the same amount as doing it every day for 30 days.
If you do it Monday and Thursday over a 60-day period, you only come up with 18 days, because 2 months have approximately 9 weeks in them. They have 4 weeks plus an additional 2 or 3 days. If you add 2 months together, you're going to get an extra week in there. So those 9 weeks have a Monday and Thursday 9 times. That's 18 days. As opposed to over a period of 30 days where you'll have 4 weeks, which is 28 days, plus an additional 2 days is 30 days, minus about 4 Shabbatot. You're going to end up with 26 days or so that you're announcing. So how can it be equal between 18 and 26? Kevin de Mashcha Milta Shmi Ainche. Because it lasts over a longer duration, people will hear about it. So there are two ways to create buzz, to create a call about the field. One way is to do it on a consecutive basis, means 30 days straight every single day. The other way to do it is alternating days, meaning that on Mondays and Thursdays, the days of the Shuk, busy days, but to do it over an extended period of time. And by doing an extended period of time, you'll create the same amount of talk, buzz, call about the field. We do not go in to extract property or to pay off debts of the Yitomim. Ella, exceptional cases are, if father had an outstanding loan that was accumulating interest, since it's accumulating interest, the longer that they wait in order to pay off the loan, then we are going to have more and more interest accrue. And therefore, we say we're going to deal with it right now so that we don't cause losses for the Yitomim. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omer, that's true. Olu shtar sheish bo ribit. You're right about the ribit, but I had an additional aspect, which is olu ktubat tisha mishum mizone. And for the woman's ktuba, we do it as well. Because the woman, after she has been widowed, is entitled to eat mizonot from the estate until she takes her ktuba. So as long as she doesn't take her ktuba, she's entitled to eat mizonot. So it's a loss to the Yitomim, because they're going to have to feed this woman over many years if they don't pay out the ktuba. So bravasi, my time alo amar the ktuba tisha. Why didn't he deal with the ktuba tisha? It's right, Rabbi Yochanan's right, that she's going to be eating mizonot over these years. Better pay her off with the ktuba. He says, wait, there's an offset to that. Yes, she's entitled to take her mizonot from the estate, but she has to pay her Masa Yadayim into the estate. I mean, whatever income she earns is going to go into the estate. So it should net out to be even. Rabbi Yochanan says, Zimnin Dulo Sapko. There's times when it's not enough, meaning that her ma'aseh yadayim don't equal the amount of food or money that she's taking out of the estate. So therefore, we have a machloket here about what we address in terms of the yatomim. According to both of them, that is both Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, we agree that when it comes to ribit, for sure we deal with it right away, because there's no question that the yatomim are losing out by keeping the debt outstanding for longer. On the other hand, we have a machloket when it comes to ketubat tisha, whether there it's worth paying it off or not paying it off. If we pay it off right away, we finished with paying her mizonot. On the other hand, Bazi says, until that point in time, she was paying him ma'aseh yadayim. So maybe it paid to keep it around because we don't lose anything, and therefore we don't have to pay yet. If we don't pay yet, Tomim can benefit from the property until they pay it off. So it's a question if it's worth it or not, and that's the machloket here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Asi. The Gemara now is going to go through a series of braitot on our Mishnah to figure out, maybe we can prove something about who's right about this. Tanan. Shuma yitomim shloshim yom, shuma ekdesh shishim yom. Our Mishnah, machrizin baboker be'erev, we announce in the morning and night, b'mayaskinan, what's the case over here? What are we talking about here? We're talking about a creditor that has a claim against the estate, Oved Kochavim, but he's not Jewish. Why are we assuming that he's not Jewish? Because he's charging interest. A Jew couldn't charge interest on the loan, and therefore, it must be that it's a creditor who's not Jewish. So the creditor is not Jewish. We're going to say to him, listen, we're going to sell the property for you on your behalf, and we're going to pay you off. But you know what? You just have to wait for 60 days till we do that, or you have to wait 30 days until we do the auction. And then we'll pay you off. In the meantime, when you suspend the interest, says, Mitzayit, he's not going to listen to us. He's going to say, sure, you want to pay today, I'll stop accruing interest. You want to wait 30 days, 60 days to see if you get more money for the field, that's fine. That's your problem, but I'm going to charge you interest till then. And as Tosvot points out, that we wouldn't take that risk. We're not sure that the auction is going to net us more money from the property. But we are sure that we're going to lose money if we keep the property around because we're going to have to continue to pay interest. So therefore, we wouldn't necessarily take that risk to try to auction the property off for the benefit of the Yitomim. So that's clear that that can't be the case here. Elab Shita, B'Baal Chov Yisrael, the creditor is a Jew. Now, Ika Achel Ribita, if the creditor is a Jew and he's collecting interest, Mishav Kinele, Beitin will say, no way, no how. You're not allowed to collect interest. We're not paying you interest, and these Yitomim are not going to pay you interest. You illegally are taking interest, we're not going to pay it. So that you tell me don't need to worry about losing money here. They'll pay the debt whenever they need to. Why do they have to pay it right now? They're not losing money. Vela, delokachil ribita. So we're talking about a case where there is no interest involved. Tani niskakim. And yet it says that we still make the Yatomim pay. What would be compelling for the Yatomim to pay that they'd be losing out money? And we are saying here that there's no ribita involved. So Bishlam other Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan say, I'll tell you what the case is. Muki labik tudat tisha. It's a case where a woman, a widow, has a claim against the estate for a ketubah. So there is something going on in the interim, which is that she's collecting her mizonot out of the estate. So in order to stop that process, we want to pay the ketubah out in order to stop it. And of course she'll listen to us because we're going to auction off the property and we'll say to her, look, we'll give you the mizonot now. You're going to collect mizonot anyway, so let's go ahead, let's do this, and we'll auction it off and pay your ketubah. Elo the Ravasi, Kash, Ravasi, what is he going to say the case is? He says the only case we deal with the Yatomim's property is when there's interest involved. None of the cases work. So I'm going to Ravasi, Rabbi Yochanan Minecha. Does it work so well according to Rabbi Yochanan? Mishka v'gina mizone devadai ka mifsida, naktina achraza. Wait a minute, how are you going to get the woman to buy into this deal? So what are you going to say to her? Listen, we're going to auction the property off for the next 30 days, the next 60 days. In the meantime, we want you to suspend our payments for mizonot. And then we'll pay you for the ketubah at the end of that period of time. She's not going to do that. We're not going to allow that to happen. And she's not going to let it happen. So you're taking away her mizonot, which you would vaday get. And then you're selling a property and then you're getting her stuff later. She doesn't need that. She'll say, I'll keep the mizonot during the time. And so that's what Rav Asi says. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, this case doesn't make so much sense. Because a woman's never going to agree to this auction process and say that I'm going to suspend my mizonot payments in the interim. What's she going to say? Sure, keep paying me mizonot and you'll auction it off. But then Beit Din may not do that because they're taking a risk now. Taking a risk that if they continue for the 30 or 60 days, they're definitely paying mizonot. On the other hand, at the end of the 30, 60 days, we don't know if we're going to net more from the sale of the property. So Beit Din would never allow such an auction to go through because it could be to the detriment of the Tomim. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, this case doesn't work so well. Where it says, Halo Kasha, that's not a problem for Yochanan. Betovat ketubata beBeit Din. It's a case where she came to claim her ketubah. It wasn't on our initiative, it was her initiative. She wanted her ketubah, so she came to Beit Din. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, like the member of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tovat ketubata Beit Din ela mizonot. For the moment she makes a claim on her ketubah, then she's no longer entitled to mizonot. At that point, we suspend the mizonot, and we work on giving her ketubah. So my says, Yochi is the kukela mistakirin la. At that point, then why do we worry about the yitomim? She's no longer getting the zonot, so the yitomim aren't losing out anymore. We'll say, you know what? We don't need to pay so quickly. We're not losing any money now. We're not paying the zonot anymore. We'll pay her when we get older. We'll pay her off. We'll pay her ketubah off. Why do we have to rush to pay her off now? Tamar says, that's not fair. Ela kevan dis geginan la mikora, mistakinan la besof. You can't have it be uneven like that. We can't say we're suspending your zonot because you asked for your ketubah, but then we're not going to address paying your ketubah off. It has to be that if she claims her ketubah, she doesn't lose her mizonot, and therefore we can push her off for the period of the auction in order that we can see if we can get more money. Or it has to be if we suspend her mizonot that we're going to deal with her. And that's what the Gemara says. The fact is that since we addressed her up front and said you can collect your ketubah and we suspend your mizonot, we got to finish that process. And finishing that process means that we pay her out. We don't hold her out, even though the yitomim in some sense aren't losing out over here because there are no mizonot eating away at their estate anymore. That's all because she asked for a ketubah. So if we already suspended her mizonot because she asked for the ketubah, we got to finish that and give her payment of her ketubah. So fine, that figures out, or that takes care of Rabbi Yochanan. The case that we're speaking about here, of Shuma Yitomim, is a case of a widow who has made a claim for a ketubah, and now we want to pay her off. So that's the case that we're speaking about. And that's why we do it, in order to prevent or protect the Yitomim from having the mizonot eat away at the estate. So Mikol Makom Ravasi Kash, what about for Ravasi? How's Ravasi going to explain this case? The Olam Bebalchov Oved Kochavim Shekibel Alev Dadun B'dinei Yisrael. It's a case here that Ravasi says we're talking about a non-Jew who lent with interest. But he accepted that the venue for jurisdiction will be the Jewish court. And therefore he's willing to listen. Whatever the court says, he'll listen to. What says he? Ochi Ribit Nami Lodishko. Well, if he's already coming into the Jewish law system, then he shouldn't take Ribit either. Says Shekibel Alev Lezu, Velokibel Alev Lezu. He only agreed that the location of the court case would be the jurisdiction, which court would have jurisdiction, that he agreed to. It'll be baked in as jurisdiction. He didn't agree to abide by all laws that are in Shulchan Aruch, that can't collect on interest, that he didn't agree to. He just agreed to the fact that the adjudicator in the case would be baked in. So based on that, he still can collect interest. On the other hand, we can push him out for the 30 days or the 60 days and say, listen, we're going to suspend the interest payments, we're going to auction off the property, and we'll pay you off at the end of that period of time. And he will agree to it because he agreed that the court or the Beit Din had jurisdiction over this. Tashma, another question. You can only take form the Nichsei Yitomim from Ziborit, which is the lowest quality of property. Property comes in three qualities. Ziborit is the lowest, Beinonit being the middle, and Idit being the highest quality of property that has the highest production rate per measurement of land. So when the Yitomim pay off, we only pay off in the lowest quality of property. But my eskinan, if we're talking about a non-Jewish creditor, Mitzayit. Why is he going to listen? He's going to take whatever property he wants. He's not going to listen to us to only take Ziborit, to take the worst quality property. El Abshita B'Bal Chov Yisrael. Must be a Jewish creditor. So, Iachol Rebita, what's the problem here? If it's a Jewish creditor, what are you worried about? Why are we trying to pay him off so fast over here? If it's because there is interest in the contract, Mishav Ginamay, we're not going to let him collect interest. It's illegal for him to take interest from the Yitomim, from any Jew. So therefore, we're going to say no interest payments to you, and there's no problem. There's no rush to get this done. Elo Deloach Rebita. Must be a case where there is no interest eating away at the estate, Tani Niskan King, and we still say that we work out this issue. And what's compelling us? Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Mukalab Turat Tisha. Again, Rabbi Yochanan will establish that this case is a case of Turat Tisha. Elo Rav Asi Kasha. For Vasi, it'll still be a problem. What's he going to say? So Melcho Rav Asi, or Rabbi Yochanan Minecha. Again, is it so good for Rabbi Yochanan? Ik Tuba. If it really is a Tuba, my Iriya Miatme. Then why are you talking about it just from Yitomim? Afilu Minedi Dei, Nami Biziburi. Why does the case that we brought over here, why say that only the Yitomim paid the Tuba out of Ziborit? It's true even if he got divorced from the woman. If a man got divorced from the woman and he had to pay the ketubah, he has a right to pay it in Ziborit as well. So why are you only mentioning that Yitomim paying with Ziborit? It should be the man himself pays in Ziborit. So why is it so good for Rabbi Yochanan if you set it up as a case where one's making a claim for the ketubah, then we should have said it's true both Yitomim and the Baal himself? So it says, Alo Kasha, that's not a problem, Rabbi Meir. The author of that position is Rabbi Meir, Damar ketubah tisha bebenonit, that you pay off a ketubah tisha with middle grade property. Umiyat may be Ziborit. When it comes to Yitomim, you pay off a Ziborit. So there is a differentiation between the Baal, if there was a divorce, versus Yitomim, if she was widowed, there is a difference in the quality of property that's paid. So based on that, Rabbi Yochanan will say that the case here is a case of a ketubah tisha, and the reason that we deal with it for the Yitomim and only pay out with Ziborit is because of the ketubah tisha. We say, we'll take care of you, but we're going to give you the lowest grade of property. According to Rav Asi, what's the case here that we're forcing the Yitomim to pay, yet there's no pressure on them to pay? So it says, no lomba vachov. So I made a case that is a creditor, Oved Kochavim, a non-Jewish creditor. Shekibel alav, don't be Dinei Yisrael. Again, the same answer. that he agreed that the jurisdiction of Beit Din would rely on this contract, and therefore we can give him instructions and he will listen. So then we can say the same thing. Let's suspend the interest payments or don't take interest. No, he accepted the fact that the court would have jurisdiction over the contract. He didn't accept to be done in all the laws of Jews. He doesn't accept that he's not going to take rebit. Okay, one more case. This is the braita that we brought before. Tashma, amanat liten lishal tubatal v'chol b'chovo. The end of the braita, the end of yesterday's daf, we spoke of the fact that part of the announcement for selling the property is what the proceeds are going to be used for. So there it said there were two reasons for the use of proceeds. One reason for the use of proceeds was tubatisha. The other for the use of proceeds was balchov. So bishlam of balchov, ben damar kedeshanina. When you're talking about a balchov, we could answer for both. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Asi, it was a case where it's an obid kochavim. That's collecting interest, but he agreed that the Beit Din would have jurisdiction over the contract. That we can explain. Elu tuba ta. What do you mean you're announcing that you're going to sell the property for the tuba? Bishlam or Rabbi Yochanan necha. Rabbi Yochanan can explain that. He thinks that's one of the reasons that you collect out of the atonement's property. That works fine. Elu Rav Asi kashu. Rav Asi, it's a problem. It says, ochem ha'iskina, and this was the case here. It's a case where the Baal or the husband before he died said, I owe the money. I never paid off the ketubah. So since he admitted that he never paid off the ketubah, we're obligated to pay it. We have no questions that we should be paying it off over here. The Gemara says, Ashi tadi d'ochi, since we got to that answer, let's go back and amend all the answers. Kulu namik shechayav mudeh. All the cases before where we answered for Rav Asi, it was a case where it's a creditor who's a non-Jew accepted the jurisdiction of Beit Din. So they're saying that, we'll say that all the cases are really, it's a Baal Chov Yisrael, but nevertheless, we know that the father said he owed the money, and that he needs to pay him. So therefore, we're going to force the Yitomim to pay, because the father admitted that he owed the money. So in that case, we're going to make him pay. So that'll be the case that Rav Asi is talking about. That'll be the description of all these cases. So now we have some case law. He went ahead, and for a divorcee, he took the Peder Ketubah off from the possessions of Yitomim. I mean, they got divorced. Then the ex-husband passes away, and you have Yitomim here. And nevertheless, Merimar went and took the money to pay off the ketubah. So Amar Ravina, the Meimar, how could you do this? Ravasi said that's only when you have interest eating away at the estate. And even Rabbi Yochanan, who said more than that, Omer, Olushtar Sheish Boribit, for interest eating at the estate, Oluk Tubadatisha, Mishum Mizone. The reason that he says you pay out the Tubadatisha is because she collects Mizonot. Well, Mizonot are only an entitlement of a widow. She's entitled to get Mizonot from the estate. A divorcee doesn't have entitlement for Mizonot from the estate. So then why are we worried about paying her off? That's only by a widow to come after the Mizonot, because the Mizonot are eating away at the estate. About the grusha law. But it comes to a divorcee, well, there's no worry about Mizonot, so why should we deal with her tuba? We have a different reason for Rabbi Yochanan's position. You say the reason for Rabbi Yochanan's position is because of Mizonot. The reason that we learn from Rabbi Yochanan's position why we pay out the Ketubat Isha is because of Chinah, Mishum Chain. Now, there's a Makloket here in the Gaonim Rishonim about what the meaning of this Chain is. Rashi describes the Chain as, Kadesh Yimtzu Anashim, Chain Beinei Anashim Yinasu Lehem. That this is a pull for the women to get married. The women knowing now that their Ketubot are protected, and they will get paid out in their Ketubot, even if they are divorced, they will get their Ketubot. Because of that, they're willing to cede to marriage. They'll be more willing to get married, because they'll know they'll be protected in the back end. Whether they get divorced or whether they are widowed, they'll be protected in the back end, and therefore they'll agree to get married in a much easier basis. So that would be the reason why we pay out the Ketubat Isha. So according to Rashi, it's an incentive to help the women be more encouraged to get married, because they know they're protected, they have insurance in the back end of the marriage. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom writes, Sheyedei anashim sheyesh lehem ketubah min ha'yitomim. Once the women know that they'll get a ketubah from the yitomim, afilu sheyitgarshu, even if they get divorced, niskaken lehem hakvotam ketubatam, will make sure that they get paid out. Therefore, afagav dein lehem mizonot, even though they're not getting paid mizonot, will still deal with them. V'itratzu lebaleihem. Then they will be happy with their husbands. And they won't cause them pain, they won't cause them difficulty. And therefore they'll be more appealing to their husbands. So the way Rashi wrote it, it's the men that are trying to find favor in the eyes of the women. And this makes a man more appealing because the woman knows she's protected in the back end. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Gershom says it's the other way around. The women, knowing that they're protected, will feel much more positively about the man. And because they feel much more positively about the man, they will act in a manner that is much more engaging, pleasant, and positive, and that will cause their husbands to like them even more. So the chen over here is that the women will find chen in their husband's eyes, but that's generated by the fact that the women feel good. Since they have a good feeling, have a positive feeling about it, they'll bring those positive vibes into the marriage, and those positive vibes will cause them to be more appealing to their husbands. Whereas Rashi writes it the other way around. Since the women know that they're protected in the back end, they will then feel more positively about their husbands and they'll get married in the first place. So the question is, who's the chen for? Is the chen the husbands finding chen in their wives' eyes? That's the way Rashi writes it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom writes that the women are finding chen in their husbands' eyes, but that chen is generated from the positive feelings they have that they're protected in the back end. And the Shikudu Mikubetzet brings a similar machlok between the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Aruch about exactly what the chen is over here. So Amar Rav Nachman, in the beginning, I never dealt with the nechasim of the Yitomim, because I said, I'm not going to pay, I'm not going to cause the Yitomim a loss. Now, in all these cases, when we speak about this, we're talking about Yitomim who are tanim, who are underage. Since they're underage, we don't make them pay off the property now. When they become of age, we'll let them deal with the situation in Beit Din, and they'll take care of it themselves. So we postpone it until they become gedolim. So Rav Nachman said, at first, that's how I acted. I always protected the Yitomim. We didn't pay off any debts. We didn't pay off any obligations until they became of age. But then, came into Shemana Ad Rav Huna Chavrin, Mishmei de Rav, after I heard this memra of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, which is Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Yatmei Da'achle D'lo Didhu, Yitomim, orphans who eat what's not rightfully theirs. For instance, they're not paying off their obligations and they're benefiting from that. Lizlo batar shuvkayu. They should go after those that sent them. Meaning the same tragedy that befell their father should befall them. So that's not something positive. It's obvious that it's improper for the Yitomim to benefit from the fact that we're just not taking care of the outstanding obligations of the father. So mikan ve'elech, from that point forward, mistakana mi'ikara, I would deal with it right away. Any obligations that were outstanding, I would deal with it right away for on behalf of the Yitomim. So mikamar my time alone. So what was he thinking up front? So Amar Papa Priyat Bachov Mitzvah. He says, wait, paying off a loan is a mitzvah. But Yatmei Labanim Avin Mitzvah Ninu. They're Ktanim. So since they're not Chayavin Mitzvot, they're not B'nei Avid Mitzvot, they don't do mitzvot in the sense that they're obligated. Therefore, I don't obligate them to pay off the loan or pay off the debts because they're not really obligated. And until they become gedolim, when they become gedolim, then they will assume that obligation and they'll pay off the chov. Huna breder of Yeshua Amar, Imar Tzvariyat Asfei. What we're choshish for over here is the fact that maybe the father gave them money already, but he died before he could get the shtar back. So what we're not uncertain about is maybe he already paid them, and now we're going to pay them again. So because of that, he withheld from paying them. So my binayu, what's the difference between these two reasons as to why he didn't pay up front? The difference is obviously when he admits that he's chayav. If he admits that he's chayav, in the case where we said we're worried about the fact that he gave money to him and we don't know about it, that's obviously not the case here because he said he still owed the money. So therefore we'll pay it off. On the other hand, in terms of mitzvah, the friat bachov, the Yitomim still don't have that mitzvah because they're still tanim. Even if the father admits he owes the money, they don't have that mitzvah until they become gdolim. Inami, another difference between them would be shemtua. They put him into nidoi because he wasn't paying off his loans. He was not paying the creditors. Umeit b'shamte. And he died in excommunication. He died in that shamta because he had yet to pay off the loans. Now it's clear over there that he would only pay for those loans in Beit Din because he would want to get the shamta removed. So the fact that we don't know anything about him paying off loans, we can assume he didn't pay them off, and therefore he's chayav. We don't worry about sarere. On the other hand, Yad B'chol B'mitzvah still doesn't exist until the Yitomim are older, and therefore the Yitomim would not be obligated to pay off. Whereas for choshish for tafsei tzarere, there we would say that you have to pay it off. Shachum Itamne, he sent from over there, the Shamtua Meet Bishamte. All those brightot before, where we said that the Yitomim had to pay it off, all those cases were cases where he was put into excommunication because he wasn't paying the creditors. And therefore, we know for sure that he didn't give any money to the Bachol, because he had given money, he would have gone to Beit Din to tell him so that he could get out of the Shamta. So the fact is, we know he owes the money now, and that's why we force him to pay. In all those cases, why we make the Yitomim pay is because we know for sure there was no payment made before. And ve'uchata k'ravuna breider of Yoshua. The loch is like Ravuna breider of Yoshua, that we worry about the fact that the father might have given them money, but in cases where we know for sure that the father didn't give them money, k'shechayav modeh, when he admits that he gave the loan, or in a case where he was in Shamta and never released from that Shamta, then we make the Yitomim pay right away, because we know for certain that the loan was not paid off, and we deal with it immediately, because of the statement of Ravuna Marav, that we don't want the Yitomim holding on to money that's really not theirs. We want to protect them, we want to protect the estate, but we're not going to do it at the expense of creditors who we know for sure they owe money to, and therefore you'll pay off the money. And it turns out that the loch is also like Rav Nachman over here, because we know Rav Nachman's a Dayan, and generally when Rav Nachman paskins with regards to things that have to do with Dayanut, We paskin like Rav Nachman. So do over here, like Rav Nachman said up front, I worried about this. In the back end, I did not worry about this. And therefore, Tosavot says that we hold like Rav Nachman, anything that Yitomim hold, we pay off because we don't want to have any doubt as to that Yitomim are benefiting for other people's money. And that's what Tosavot says. V'alochik Rav Nachman bedinin nizkakim l'nichsei Yitomim. That we do deal with the nichsei Yitomim, and we adjudicate all the cases to figure out if they owed money or they don't owe money, and we try to deal with it up front. We don't postpone it until they become gedolim. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the machlok between Rav Papa and Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua. Because Rav Papa said the thing that we're choshish for is the fact that there is no mitzvah nitomim. That's why they don't pay off until later, and that's why we're not nizkakim. On the other hand, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says the reason we're not nizkakim is because we're worried about tzarerei. We're worried about the fact that maybe he gave him money and didn't have time to take the shtar. So we want to be absolutely sure that he owes the money before we pay the money. So based on that, let's look at some of the cases that we've seen before. It's none. Shuma Yitomim 30 yom. Veshuma Hekdesh 60 yom. Our Mishnah that says Yitomim, we auction for 30 days. Hekdesh, we auction for 60 days. Makhrizim Baboko Be'erev. B'mayaskim? What's the case there that we're talking about Shuma Yitomim? Ilim V'balchov Oved Kochavim. If we're talking about a non-Jewish creditor, Mitzayit. He's not going to listen to us to suspend the interest payments for the 30 days until we auction off the property. Elipshita V'balchov Yisrael. Must be a Jewish creditor. So Bishlam Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Mukila Bishchayav Modeh. He'll explain the case where it's a Jewish creditor. He's obviously not charging interest, so that came in the issue. There must be a time where the father was Modeh, that he owes the money. And that's why we're going to address the situation. Elgar Papa, even B'chayav Modeh makes no difference because the Yitomim are not Chayavim to pay it off. So Kasho, Samar L'chor Papa, the case in the Mishnah is talking about a ktubah being collected from the Yitomim. And like we saw before, the gzeira mishum chinah, that we deal with the ktubah, even though technically there's nothing wrong with the estate and the Yitomim are not losing out. Case of a baal chov, a creditor that's a non-Jew, shekibel alav, the don b'nei Yisrael. He agreed that the Beit Din have jurisdiction over the contract. Where it says, shekibel alav, linto lehu ad gadle. Then wait until they grow up and he can pay them back. Where it says again, shekibel alav lezu, v'lokvel alav lezu. He accepted the fact that the jurisdiction would be governed by Beit Din, but he didn't accept the fact that he doesn't get collect interest on the loan. He's going to collect interest on the loan. Tashma. Amanat liteni shak tubatal v'alchovo chovo. So that's again the brayta that we brought at the end of yesterday's daf that give the reason why we're auctioning off the property, either to pay a ktubah or to pay off a creditor. But my eskinan, ilim v'alchovo vid kochavim. Again, if we're talking about a creditor, non-Jewish creditor, mitzayit, he's not going to listen to us to wait and suspend the interest payments. Elapshita must be, but v'alchov Yisrael, we're talking about a Jewish creditor. Bishlam al-Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, he'll explain the case as mukila b'shechayiv modeh. Bihuna Breder of Yeshua says that we're choshish for tzorei. When the father said, I owe the money, we know he didn't give him any money. Therefore, we're going to pay it off. Al-Rav Papa, bishlam aktuba mishum china. We understand why you would sell the property for ktuba. Because that was the gzeira of china. We saw that already. But now we separated out ktuba tisha from balchov. El balchov kasho. Balchov is a problem for him. Why are we paying off the balchov before they become of age? So the olam, it's a case of balchov ovei kochavim. We're talking about a non-Jewish creditor. Go shekibel alav ledun b'dinei Yisrael. He agreed to be under the jurisdiction of Beit Din. Ikibel alav lintarlu adigadle. If that's the case, let him wait until they come of age. Kibel alav lezu, velu kibel alav lezu. They accepted that the court would have jurisdiction, but he didn't accept the fact that he'd have to wait around until Yitomim come of age to get paid off. And therefore we have to deal with it right away, because there's interest eating away at the estate. Now Rava gives a third reason. We have the reason of Ravuna Bered Yeshua, which is that we worry about Sorarei, that he gave money and didn't collect the shtar back. We have the reason of Papa, which is that Yitomim are not bnei avid mitzvah, therefore they don't have the mitzvah of priyat balchov until they become of age. Rava gives a third reason is, Mishum Shovar. We're afraid that maybe the shtar is still outstanding, but he has a receipt somewhere. And we're just not aware of the receipt and the payment already taking place. Now the Nafkamina, when Rava says Mishum Shovar, between him and Rav Huna the Brave Yeshua, as Tosua points out, is a case where a person gave over all his shtarot to an individual, says, here's all my shtarot, please take care of them. We look through those shtarot, and there is no shovar in there. So then we know for sure that we don't have to worry about a receipt. On the other hand, we still have to worry about tzorei, the fact that he might have given him money, a bundle of money, to pay off. So that'll be the nafkamina between Rav Huna, Brave Dei Yeshua, and Rava. In that case, Rava will say we do pay the loan off, because we know for sure there's no reason to doubt that he owes the money. On the other hand, Rav Huna, Brave Yeshua said, no, we still don't know if he gave him a bundle of money, and he just didn't have time to take the shtar back. Yes, we don't have a shofar, but we have another issue that we worry about, and that's tzorei. So that'll be the nafkamina between Rava and Rav Huna, Brave Dei Yeshua. Samarle Rav Huna, Brave Dei Yeshua, the Rava, Michashin, the shofar. Do we really worry about a receipt floating around? Vatznan, the Mishnah Ktubot, and Yifrat Shelo Bifanav, Lo Tifrat LeBishvua. If a woman comes to claim against the estate, a man went off to do business overseas, and now she needs to collect from the estate, and she wants to collect, but he's not around. She's only allowed to collect from the estate when she takes a shvuah. V'amar Rav Acha Sar Bira Masay Ba Lifnei Rav Yitzchok Nafko Antuchia. V'amar Lo Shanu Alek Dubati Shah Mishum Chinah. We allow the woman to collect there because of this gzera, because of chayin, this takana that the women should find chayin. We saw whichever way it works. Aval Balchov Lo, a Balchov even with the shvuah can't collect. V'rova Marav Nachman Avilu Balchov Nami. Even a Balchov can come take a shvuah and collect. Hichayshit the shovar. So if you're worried about receipts, why don't we worry about the shofar over there? I'm like, how come Kev Darina Taimo? Over there we explain the reason why we allow him to collect. Where we don't want people running away after they borrow money. We want them flying the coop and going overseas so that the people never get their money back. So we're not going to allow that to happen. Therefore, we're going to address the claims of the Bachov. We'll make him take a shuva, but we're going to address the issue. Savama Rova. Rova says, Ilchota ein niskatim nichse yitomim. We never go into nichasim yitomim via mamar tznu. Unless the father said tznu, give it, then niskakim. Then we do it. So if it's a chayav modeh, then we do give it to the claimants. Sadezu umanezu. If it's a case where he says the particular field or the particular amount of money, then niskakim. We deal with it right away. Ve'ein mamidim apitropus. We don't put an executor for the estate because there's no decisions to be made. The father said exactly what he owed and what they should give. But if he said, sadestam, umanestam, he said that I owe money, or I owe them a field, but he doesn't tell us which one, then it's kakim. We deal with it because he admitted that he owes the money. Umamidim apichobus. But in that case, we put an executor in the estate because we want the executor to make a decision on behalf, or be the advocate on behalf of the yitomim, to pay from the ziborit, from the worst quality property, to make sure that there's someone who is looking out for the rights of the yitomim. Samari Naradai, the Rendai on the other hand said, bukulu niskakim, umamidim apichobus. In all these cases, we claim from the estate, but we also put an executor there to defend or take care or advocate on behalf of the yitomim. Levad. The only exception to that is benitzeit sadesh inu shelo. Case where you find that he has in his possession a field that's not his. And if we have edim, that this field doesn't belong to him but belongs to another party, we're not going to assume that the edim are lying because we're worried maybe about some other chashash, whether it's a shofar, whether it's surrey, whatever the reason is, we're not going to be choshesh that these edim are lying, and therefore we're going to give the property back without even appointing an executor. Amar Rashi. Rashi says, here, therefore, this is the halacha. Hilchach is the kukei lo mizdatinan. Unless it's one of these exceptional issues, we do not go after the possessions of the yitomim. We wait till they come of age to deal with these issues. Tama Rava, Yokota, ein nizkakin. Because Rava said, the halacha is that we don't deal with these issues. Ve'im is dakagin. If there's a reason to deal with the possessions of the estate of the yitomim, for instance, for ktubat isha, or for a balchov where we have chayav modeh, so in those cases, mukminen apitropus, then we establish an executor of the estate. Not like what Rava said. Tama naradai, bukulin is kakim, umadimidim apitropus. So we pass in like Rava that we don't deal with the estate of the Yitomim. But there are certain exceptional cases where we do deal with it. That Rava agreed to too. But that part we say the halacha is like Rava, but in the part of how we do it, that we don't like Rava. We hold like the Naradai who say that we appoint an executor for those issues, no matter what they are, to help out and to advocate on behalf of the Yitomim. And except for one exceptional case, which is a case where the property has edim testifying that it was stolen, in that case, we give the property back. We don't get involved with an executor because we don't assume that the edim are lying over here.